It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
But Ticrell forgot one thing, it. Monsters, John. Monsters from the id.
There you go again, always blaming me for everything.
Go switch off!
Exterminate!
It's a trap!
This looks extraordinarily bad.
Commencing countdown. T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode 123.
Torchous Cinema, the Star Wars Holiday Special, making episode 1 seem almost bearable.
No.
Is that not allowed?
No, because I think episode 1 is alright. It's not a great movie, I'll give you that. But compared to Attack of the Clones, episode 1 is really good.
No, that's totally fair. Actually, what I said when I sat down to watch this with my mother and my partner was, okay, now bear in mind going in, is this actually worse than the prequel trilogy? And when my mother gave up halfway through, we all decided definitively, yes.
It is.
But only yes. Just.
Yes. No, it is. Oh, my God. Like, well, it depends. Are we comparing it to the entire trilogy as a whole or to individual movies from the prequel trilogy?
Any. Yes. All.
All of the above?
See, I don't think if you compare them all together, it's a fair comparison. We have to compare it to just Attack of the Clones, which is possibly the worst Star Wars movie I'd ever seen until I saw this.
Okay, so let's try this again.
Okay. We're still recording. Just keep going.
The Star Wars Holiday Special makes Attack of the Clones seem almost bearable.
Ow. Alright, well, so we were unfortunately gifted with watching the Star Wars Holiday Special, because that's what people chose.
By the way, next year we need to watch the He-Man and She-Ra Holiday Special. That's what I've decided. I've decreed.
It's gotta be voted.
No.
Gotta be voted. Just anyway, you'll notice that Jen is here again.
Yes, I am.
And then we have myself, Sean. We have Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hello, everyone.
And then Julia. Hello, Julia.
Hi.
So, we're on a time cruncher, so why don't we get straight to the big important question, the most important thing about this whole show. What is everybody drinking? So, Jen?
I am drinking a lovely bottle of Chaucer Mead that my parents gave to me for Christmas, because they love me.
Julia?
I am drinking spiced hot apple cider with whiskey, because it is the water of life, and what better thing to forget Life Day with?
Yeah. Paul?
I am drinking a hard lemonade. I'm going to regret this in the morning at work, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude. I am drinking the only appropriately Christmas-themed drink, which is a White Russian Christmas.
I'm sorry. Julia's seemed perfectly appropriate for Christmas. And I actually think that mead is really appropriate as well.
I'm teasing.
I think the only one that is a major fail in terms of Christmas theme is the hard lemonade. Unless you're from Australia.
I was just going to say, unless Paul is in Australia.
Right. No way, mate.
Funny. So, all right. So, why don't we have somebody try to describe what this movie's about?
I thought that's your job.
Is that my...
I can do it.
Okay.
Well, I got this one.
Yeah, Julia, go for it. What is this movie about?
So Han Solo is trying to get Chewie back to his home planet so he can celebrate the all-important Wookiee holiday of Life Day, and they're running into problems. Chewie's family is worried, and apparently the people who made this decided that this would be a great frame in which to host a variety show.
That's perfect.
It's a variety show?
Yeah. Oh,
it is. It's so full of, like, songs and comedy sketches. They're not funny, but that's what they are.
Okay. So I missed it. I totally missed it somewhere in the middle. Okay. All right. That's a good description. So why don't we start with our 5x5s? We're going to start with likes, because I think it's pretty much decided that we fucking hate this. So Jen, why don't you give us your first like?
My first like, I'm going to go with the four-handed cooking show shtick.
Oh, no!
I had that one, too.
It can't be a like. That's not right.
Because compared to all the rest of the shticks, this one was at least moderately amusing in some way, shape, or form.
God, Jen.
However, most of the time I was just pissed that Nala was not using anything that resembled a cooking space whatsoever. but
she
beyond
wasn't that Santa at all.
Yeah, I just it didn't make sense to me.
Okay,
but
well,
but what's his name was this only good section with him in it. And I like four-handed shticks. You know, they're it's a good sort of slapstick routine. It's a nice standard.
I remember we were talking like maybe 15 minutes earlier about when we were going to meet up for Christmas and when I go down, you know, tomorrow.
You're gonna
you can just
me?
Forget it. Yeah, just forget it.
Whatever.
No. After that, I'm done.
No Christmas present for you, ass.
I don't want a Christmas present if you like four-handed cooking people. Weird shit. You'll probably give me like Richard Simmons crap.
Whatever. It was at least something to like.
Okay. Julia, what about you?
My first leg is the intro, which I actually did. Like, I had never seen this before. I'd heard legends of how horrible it was. We sat down to watch it, and, like, the Star Wars music starts playing, and there's this Hollywood announcer voice, and it's like, this is the Star Wars holiday special with famous person, and B. Arthur. And I was like, yeah, this is going to be actually maybe not so bad. I was wrong, but I did like that intro.
You know what's funny is the version that I had, somebody had done some sort of, like, their own introduction to the special. So it had things like, you know, in a long ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then it would do things like, and B. Arthur singing! And Princess Leia singing.
Oh, no.
Not that either one of those things are good, but they sing. And I'm going, that's awesome. Thank you for warning me ahead of time about what I'm about to get myself into. It was good stuff.
All right, Paul, what about you?
I'm going to piggyback off of Jen because I have so few likes. The fun fact that there in the Star Wars universe, there is a cooking channel and Wookiees watch it.
Right?
That's right. Not to mention that for some reason, Wookiees who live on like a giant jungle planet, right, and don't wear much in the way of clothing themselves, for some reason furnish their homes inside trees exactly as humans would furnish them, which never made any sense to me.
I particularly liked, in terms of the cooking portion of this show, that she never has to wash her hands. I went through this process of going, and how would a Wookiee wash their hands? I mean, because they're really hairy. And obviously, you know, you want to wash up between handling Bantha, and she never does. And how much hair do you get into the food? If you're a Wookiee. So, I mean, in that sense, it was a moderately amusing segment because you got to go through like the trials and tribulations of a Wookiee cooking.
Oh God. Well, yeah, if you're adding, because that might've been more interesting to figure like a Douglas Adams type thing where they sit down and explain how Wookiees clean themselves in like that cute cartoony fashion. That might've been fascinating.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that.
The question is, what are Bantha doing on the Wookiee home planet?
Right, because they're from Tatooine. How the fuck did they get there?
Mm-hmm.
Imported meat.
It must be really expensive, and it's an Empire.
It's supposed to be economical meal, too.
Right, which makes no sense, because it comes from another... Like, does nobody sit down and think of, like, space economics? How this would work?
No, that would
because
be...
Because Banthas come from a desert planet, which means they wouldn't be a very plentiful species, right? Because that's like you don't like go to like you know, like Death Valley and just see shit tons of like horny toads running around. There's just millions of them. That's not how it works. Whatever. I'm thinking too much.
I like that you're actually trying to impose logic on this at all.
Yeah. Because it wasn't.
Okay, well, my first like, I'm just going to go with one that just made me giggle inside because it was nostalgia that I never could have because I wasn't alive then. Paul remembers, but... teasing you, Paul. But the snippets of 1970s commercials that were left in the recording that I watched...
Oh, yes!
Because they were totally campy, and it was just cute stuff. It was like spots for Lucy and Dallas and some drug called Comtrex, which I don't know what the hell that is, azithromycin, whatever, right?
You had different commercials than I did, which makes it even more hilarious.
And the funniest, okay, so there were other things. There was like this weird commercial of the Pillsbury Plus yellow cake, which was just pictures of like close-ups of women eating cake. Like, it was like really close to their mouths, of them putting the cake in their mouths, which I was slightly erotic, but whatever. Cake munching, as I call it. There was a Hungry Jack commercial, but the best one was the International Ladies Garment Workers Union.
Yes!
Its own jingle.
I saw that! That was amazing! I could not believe the number of like pro-labor union commercials that were on the version that I watched. And I was like, I mean, I watched more of the commercials than I did the holiday special.
Because it was interesting from a historical perspective, but I didn't understand an International Ladies Garment Workers Union. That seems...
I didn't even know we had one.
It's very specific. It's just like, how do you get the guy that starts that to like sit down and like, look, you're doing an ad for the International Ladies Garment Workers Union? You can't laugh at this. This isn't funny. Don't laugh. It's not funny, guy. Don't laugh at this. Okay, you just need to say it with a straight face, like you're very serious and like you're totally into it. And he's totally into it because he's thinking, I could join this union and get lady garments for my lady. Done. Right? There are also lots of sexist commercials because it's the 70s. So.
Yes. I particularly liked the one for the toys. There were a couple of toy commercials. At the very end of the special that I got to watch, there was like the, you know, get the Star Wars, you know, collection now. And it had all the toys and let your child immerse himself in the Star Wars world. And it was kind of spiffy. But then there was this toy called like the Trailmaker or the Trail.
Yeah, that was so
you
cool.
Had that one? I was like, I want that toy. Because that toy looks awesome.
I wonder if it actually worked.
I did not see that commercial.
Okay, so here's the deal, right? So you get this little pad, it's like white, and you get like crayons that you can wash off, right? And you draw lines, and then you put the little car thing on it, and it follows the lines. And you can like draw them into curvies and stuff, and it follows the curves.
That is pretty cool.
Like, it was it's from the 1970s. Like, they barely even had computers then. And there they are with this cool stuff, so yeah.
I was impressed, too. I've never seen anything that cool in... You know,
nowadays the toys are just shoot them up.
I'm sure they found out it was like full of lead or, you know, something mercury and decided to ban it. Exactly. You know,
the asbestos trail maker.
I own some of those Star Wars toys. That might not surprise any of you.
Nice.
No, I owned past tense. I had the Death Star before I'd seen a single Star Wars movie. True story. I had no idea how to play with it. I had no idea what to do with it. I had not seen the movies. I just made up my own stuff.
That's vintage Star Wars. Totally random.
How about we go into dislikes?
Gonna, like, see cred now?
Dislike.
Well, I had the such and such. Actually, I didn't have a single Star Wars toy because my best friend had every single Star Wars toy ever made. So I just got to live vicariously through him.
Okay, Jen, why don't we go to your first dislike?
My first dislike. The names of the Wookiees.
Oh, no, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Nala or whatever, Nala was fine. You know, that's like, okay, whoop-de-doo. But Itchy and Scratchy, I mean...
Lumpy.
Lumpy. Stubby. I had no idea.
Like the Simpsons?
I didn't know. The second they said Itchy, I'm like, wait, what? I'm sorry, did you just call a Wookiee itchy, scratchy, stubby, well, shorty, lumpy?
Well, I feel like there may be short for things because Chewie is short for Chewbacca.
They're short for things, but they don't explain it in the holiday.
Chewie wasn't completely ridiculous. And like Itchy, you know, Itchy Waka, Itchy Kaka, Lump,
yeah, let's just make it
Itchy. Like, I don't know what Lumpawaru the real names are.
Is his real full name. Lumpawaru.
Lumpa, they have real names. That's good.
That's his full name. However, you want to know what makes those names even worse?
What?
Even after the holiday special came out, and it was pretty much universally panned, and George Lucas was told years and years later, it's fucking awful. Don't ever, just ignore it. Pretend it doesn't exist. He said, no, I'm going to make it canon. So now Lumpy is actually the name that is used for him.
That's insane and disgusting, and I feel sorry for the Star Wars universe. George Lucas, you're a dick.
There you go. Merry Christmas. Julia, what about you?
Okay, so anyone who's listened to me before is not going to be surprised, but the women in this movie, it is made in the 70s. It is made with a male-centric viewpoint, and it's just kind of really sad. It doesn't pass the Bechdel test. There is a point where Leia talks to Mala, but they're talking about Chewie. So that doesn't work.
Do they get an out because Chewie, like, there's a legit reason for them to be talking about them?
Nope.
No, because it's all they matter. Talk about.
That's all they talk about.
There's, like, other stuff going on, and she's still focused on that issue.
Yeah, that's all she cares about is the man. And that's, like, the only time two women talk to each other. There are multiple women in this movie, but, like, Bea Arthur has a tavern that is solely populated by male aliens.
Presumably. It's hard to tell with some of them.
I thought a couple of them were female, or at least implied they were.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
You're making the assumption. You, in your little universe, just assume that everybody who looks like a man is a man. They could be, like, you know, they could change their sexes. They could be aliens that change sexes.
That was not explicit to me. Also, like,
women
were also either really worried about men or acted as sex objects a lot of the time. It was and as my partner pointed out earlier this evening, it was like, I really like the fact that apparently even Wookiee women have to be told to smile by men. Yeah. And I was like, what? Did one of the Imperial guards do that? And he was like, no, it was Luke.
Luke.
So, like, her friend was like, you should smile.
It's okay.
Jen,
yeah.
You're smiling, woman. I say that to Jen a lot.
Yeah, but then I punch you.
I've never been punched by you.
It's only because I punch you mentally, because most of the time we only see each other not in person.
Fair point. Okay, so it does not pass the Bechdel test.
No.
Well, can we just say not surprising?
Yeah, no, I was not impressed with the women.
Yeah.
Next.
And Paul.
Okay, my first dislike is the lack of subtitles in the Chewbacca family scene.
Yes!
Did you notice the movies? I mean, how long does this go before we actually get some actual English dialogue?
It goes for about 10 minutes.
It's 10 minutes of them just going.
Exactly. They're clearly communicating. I would have liked to have some subtitles.
Yeah, because that's the thing is, like, this is supposed to be, I think, a children's program, right?
Supposedly.
I guess so, yeah.
It's for all viewers.
Right, so, but presumably, you know, because Star Wars was, you know, mostly kind of for maybe, like, teenage kids, right? Young teenagers, right? So it's family programming is what this is supposed to be. We'll question that later. But, right, so the assumption is, like, well, okay, like, kids are going to be watching this. I don't know many kids who would have sat through trying to interpret what the hell they were talking about.
Okay, this is actually interesting, too, specifically because yesterday we were playing a family game called Moods, in which you have to interpret or act out a mood, a random mood, with a line that does not match said mood. And my daughters, who are 10 and 12, had a very difficult time with this. And studies have actually shown that children do not have the empathic awareness that adults do. So specifically with something like these scenes where you have to interpret everything that's going on based solely on facial expression and tone, although granted you don't actually get a lot of facial expression because they're freaking Wookiees and there's only so much they can do with, you know, makeup magic. and their tones. So it's primarily tone. So the kids probably had a really difficult time in the first place. And though adults might be able to glean a little bit, yeah, still not a vast improvement over...
No, I
assumed at some point that there were subtitles, and I just didn't have a copy that had them.
No, there were, as far as I could tell, there were no subtitles for
there were none broadcast. I almost wonder if either they were like, no, that's too much work, or they were like, no, because this is for kids, and kids don't like to read.
So put a human in the room with them, like they do in the damn movie. Problem solved.
Well, they eventually did that 10 minutes in.
Yeah, because they figured it out.
10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, to be fair, George Lucas didn't actually write this.
No, but Bruce Valanche did. That was funny. I saw him in the credits, like the guy from Hollywood Squares.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
No, his name is in the credits. I kid you not. Explain so much.
Okay. Yeah, during that 10 minutes, I just kept thinking about all the kids who had seen the first movie, because that was all that was out at the time, and were like, we love Star Wars, and then seen commercials for this holiday special, because you know they had commercials before it was aired, and were like, yes, there's going to be a Star Wars holiday special with all the people from the movie, and the intro's great, and then it's 10 minutes of unsubtitled Wookiee stuff, and I just imagine all those kids being like, what's happening? Well... maybe it'll get better. We'll just try to keep watching. And then, you know what they saw.
Yeah, no, it didn't get better. It didn't.
At all. It got worse. Much worse. Much.
All right, let's switch back to like, since my dislike is actually... it's the same one, Paul.
Okay.
Yeah, I had the same dislike as you, so... yep. So, all right, let's go to Jen. Next like.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to go because you... my like was actually what your last like was. So I'm just going to go with that. The pro-union commercials.
International specifically. Ladies Garment Workers Union.
Not only that one, there was actually, in my version, there was one that was for like General Motors.
Yep.
And Dallas, a couple others that I can't. Yeah, and it was just kind of nifty. I was like, oh, okay, thank you at least for including these. Obviously has absolutely nothing to do with the actual holiday special.
I think from a historical perspective it counts, but that's not, if that's your like, then we need to move to Julia.
Exactly. That's my like.
Julia, go.
My like was the John Williams music. Whenever that appeared in the screenplay was great. It was fantastic. And I was like, oh, I remember why I like Star Wars, which is not this.
You didn't find it a betrayal of all things Star Wars?
No, every time the music happened, I was like, oh, this reminds me of happy things.
Oh.
That just seems like it's more torture.
Yeah.
Just these little snippets of reminders of what goodness you could have been watching instead. Oh, well.
It really made me realize how good that music is as movie music.
Yeah, the music in this was really freaking terrible. Ugh.
Okay. Everything else, yeah.
Paul, what about you then?
My second like, it is the amusement factor I got from the fact that Wookiees are apparently both polyamorous and into interspecies sex.
Yes! Damn it, why is everybody getting to my likes like right?
Because there aren't that many of them.
I'm so confused. I need explanation. What do you mean interspecies?
Interspecies sex.
Come on, Duke. Just think, like 2 seconds.
When Grampy has his little porn machine.
Oh no, don't say anything. That's enough. I now know what you're talking about. Yeah, gotcha. You like that, apparently, Paul. Okay. I'll save it, because you keep bringing up stuff that are likes that are actually my dislikes.
Oh, sorry.
Seriously.
It's my dislike. It was amusing. It was kind of awesome, hilarious, but also really awful.
Yeah. So
I just like the world building involved that they thought of.
for a children's program. For a children's program. Oh my gosh. Okay, all right. Well, hey, that's your like, huh?
That's what I like.
Well, why don't we save that for the next round so we can talk about that in conjunction with all the people who have that as a dislike.
Well, we'll just get to that as our dislike.
Yeah.
Okay, so my like is a really quick one. We can just move on. Any of the Han Solo scenes, because they're the only ones with snappy dialogue.
Though half the time, like, I'm convinced that Harrison Ford really, like, hated being there, because he would read the lines in the most monotone voice ever. And I think he was deliberately doing it because he just hated his life.
He did. He said in interviews he hated it. It was a stupid idea. In fact, he hated his character.
You could tell, because, no, he was just like, this'll be a life day to remember.
He was fine in any of the scenes that were just him and Chewie, where it was like a sort of original to the movies,
also,
you know,
the
action scene.
Chewbacca.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of sort of genuine Han Solo moments, but for the most part, yeah, it was just complete shite.
So anyway, so why don't we go to dislikes, and we're just going to plow right in to the one that we already mentioned, which is...
all of the above, yeah.
Yeah, what I've written it as this way, that apparently entertainment for Wookiees consists of bizarre, psychedelic, swimming blue people and spinning lights, which is similar to, like, tripping on acid, which is then followed by what may be the most obvious example of inappropriate children's programming made, which is Wookiees getting off on blue-haired chicks who talk dirty and sing songs to the soundtrack of a Ron Jeremy film.
Okay, so yeah, like, can I just add to that? Apparently Wookiees do not make their own entertainment ever, because every single thing the Wookiees watched had humanoids.
Yeah, I mean, talk about, like, you know, the sort of colonialist viewpoint of a Wookiee, right? You know, in which their entire world has been overtaken by humans. And so Wookiee porn doesn't actually have any Wookiees in it.
I wouldn't go quite so far as to call this porn.
Oh, well, and not just
it was
porn.
The closest you could get on a family programming show.
Not just porn, Wookiee, but she was a fantasy created by him for his mind. She was exactly what he wanted. But aside from that, like, Lumpy's little acrobat holograph display is all humanoids. The cooking show, even though it has four arms, is a humanoid person.
Yeah.
Yep.
And isn't there a point where Lumpy is also watching, like, some sort of robot repair show, which is hosted by a human?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, a robot.
Well, it's a robot humanoid, but he looks like a human. Robot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I stopped watching that section. I just let it play in the background while I did something else. I couldn't stand all of the like robotic stoppy stuff. I just wanted it to end. It was already too long at 20 seconds.
I'm sorry. You just described my entire experience with the entire holiday
movie. Yes.
How did it not hit you until the robot?
But Paul, you apparently love the creepy, like, itchy getting off on watching blue-haired chicks.
Watching blue-haired chicks, but in the middle of the family room, like right in front of his grandson. What?
Well, apparently Wookiees are there, the communal with their sexual activities. You see,
I like that.
You're imposing, Julie. You're imposing your human social culture on them. Don't colonize them with your culture.
Exactly. I'm serious. We see a look into the, yes, it's not family appropriate. Yes, kids, it shouldn't be on a kids show, but it was interesting world building to me that they would have Wookiees interested in sex with other beings, and that you would have the elder Wookiee just having this porn machine on in the middle of the room.
He's going.
I think I wouldn't feel so bad about it if they hadn't presented Wookiees as being just like the nuclear family ideal of, like, mid-20th century America.
Yeah.
They didn't present as polyamorous at all. They presented as people who had very strong, upstanding nuclear family values.
But also consider, when Sandin shows up, he's awfully affectionate with Mala. Awfully demonstrative about his friendship with her. So, I'm thinking, yeah, Wookiee's polyamorous. Yeah.
I read that as he was just trying to look out for her and take care of her.
I was pretty sure he was just scamming her in some way, shape, or form.
That was also possible.
You know,
however, I think the creepiest thing, was when he gives the porn machine to Grandpa and he's like,
yeah.
I love to make Wookiees happy.
Happy.
Which goes back to support Paul's point. This guy is probably going around, like what Jen said, slightly scammy, but we're scamming the husbands who are away. He's pleasuring female Wookiees.
He's not he's a traveling female Wookiee pleasurer. Male Wookiees. He's pleasuring everybody.
Yes, but apparently. He's pleasuring the women too, I bet. Well, maybe he likes the male Wookiees. I don't know.
I think he digs both. He's definitely
he's equal opportunity Wookiee pleasurer. Is that what his card says? Is that what his identification is? It's not
his job title.
It's Wookiee pleasurer.
Equal opportunity Wookiee pleasurer, please. He probably is part of the Wookiee pleasurer labor union.
Nice.
That's true.
So I should do my second dislike then? Because that was both.
Yes.
Okay.
That was all of us.
Yeah.
All of us. Except me. Right. My second dislike is has to do with Chewbacca's son. Why would Chewbacca's son be stupid enough to watch a cartoon starring people he knows from the Rebel Alliance while Imperial officers are wandering around the house?
I don't know. Classic. This is actually, I gotta say, this is one of my both likes and dislikes. Okay, so I'm gonna skip ahead. Because of the fact that, right, the cartoon was probably one of the only good parts of this entire movie.
Quiet.
Yeah, I got a couple likes in this cartoon, but the whole fact that he's watching it while the Imperial officers are there makes no sense.
Well, the fact that this cartoon exists, period, doesn't really make any sense. Is there like some sort of underground rebel animation factory that, you know, sends their cartoons out to rebel families to entertain their children?
Like, particularly since it stars Lumpy's father.
Well, but what's interesting is the cartoon is the continuation of the story.
Yes.
So it's the most bizarre, like, really fast cartooning ever done. It's really weird.
Yeah, it was a bit odd, to say the least.
Shall we go back to likes?
Yep, we'll be right up to third likes.
All right. Jen?
I just said it, essentially. I liked the cartoon. I mean,
yes.
At least it had a slightly decent story, although I didn't pay attention to half of it. because I didn't pay attention to half of anything.
It was the only thing that had any conflict immediately apparent, because Boba Fett is in it.
Right, and that was spiffy, you know.
And that was the first appearance of Boba Fett. That was how he was introduced.
And that's awesome, because we all know that Boba Fett is the best character ever.
Yes, which is why this whole holiday special should have just been about him.
Yes.
Done. So I like the cartoon too. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my third like as well, and I will add a couple of things to why I liked it, and that is that one, Boba Fett is riding a dragon corn, who apparently is made of or swims through lava, possibly
lava
both.
Water lava.
And on top of that, also Boba Fett just being like, friend, reminded me of Zardoz, and that made me smile.
Only Fett wasn't wearing orange underwear.
I was waiting for him to lick Luke's hand or something.
Well, Luke would be.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure he showers in pomegranate oil.
My third like is
accident. So
is go also ahead. The cartoon again. One for the Boba Fett riding that dragon corn thing, and also seeing Luke Skywalker in a Y-wing fighter.
Yeah,
he flies a ship other than an X-wing fighter, and I've always had a soft spot for the Y-wing fighter in the video games.
Yeah,
so it's nice to see him flying something else for a change.
Yeah, you would like the slow bumbling one.
But with lots of armament.
Exactly.
The Y-wing's more heavily armed than an X-wing.
And therefore, it's awesome.
It's got missiles, lasers, and an ion beam. So, triple threat. Okay, I know too much about this sort of thing.
Yeah, you do.
Anyway, all moving on.
A dislike?
Third dislike.
All right, Jen.
I'm going to go with the utterly ridiculous special effects that were actually worse than I'm pretty sure anything that came on otherwise during the 1970s, and definitely far worse than those in the films. And it was like, it was really, they didn't make any effort to even try to give it decent special effects in any way, shape, or form. I mean, like, the cartoon exterior of the Wookiee house really just kind of, it was like nails on a chalkboard for me. I wanted to, like, burn my computer the second that came on the screen. God. And then it just continued. I mean, like, you know, and most of the time they didn't even bother trying. You know, it's like there was no reason to do any special effects, so they didn't bother. And the only part I'd say that was even halfway decent was the weird, you know, the table VR sort of thingy.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was okay. That was, you know, probably the thing that took the least amount of effort for them. So that was fine. But everything after that, like the Wookiees walking into the light, which was, I mean, let's just say that's a bit creepy in the first place. So everything else was just terrible. I don't even think they used footage from the original film.
That's actually one of my dislikes. They recycled the footage from the movie.
Very end of the film is a montage of things you might have liked about Star Wars but didn't see in this special.
Agreed.
And earlier, the scene where Han Solo and Chewie are like, they're being chased by TIE fighters and all that shit, all of that, the footage of the TIE fighters being blown up and the laser fire and the Star Destroyers, all of that is originally from the first film.
Was it really because it looked
all of it
different to me?
Oh no, it's all the same. I remember.
Maybe it's just the association with this, you know, movie. Yeah. So it all just looked extra awful.
I have seen Star Wars enough times that I can recognize TIE fighters flying by the Millennium Falcon.
That's really sad.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same damn footage, which is so sad. That's my dislike. Is it? I get that it probably costs a lot of money to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But I find the recycling of footage just really just pathetic. Just don't write the story that way then. Like, you could easily have done it. You've got, like, look, he made Star Wars, right? And Holiday Special came out, was it the year after? When did this shit come out?
Yeah, 1978. It was aired on November 17th, 1978.
Okay. He, at that point, he already knows he's making the next movie, Empire Strikes Back, right? He may not know what the plot is, whatever. But they've already told him, we made a shit ton of money, you're making this movie, right? So he's got stormtrooper outfits and all this stuff just lying around, right? So don't put them in the spaceship. Just have it be on a planet and just put lots of stormtroopers in the show and hire extras and stuff. Done. Problem solved. Rewrite the story. Well, whatever.
Been traveling to the Wookiee home planet.
Have them already be on the Wookiee planet. Have them get captured.
Have them travel across the planet.
There you go.
Honestly, actually, having them be on the planet and getting captured would make more sense plot-wise, but that gets into one of my later dislikes.
Okay.
My third dislike is the stock footage.
Oh, good.
Okay, so you're already on top of it then.
My third dislike is all of the original music. As much as I loved hearing all the John Williams stuff, every single original song or original piece of score was god-awful.
Right, because it was like porn music sometimes.
Sometimes, and other times it was just really bad.
It was.
I mean, like Diane Carroll, Diane Carroll, who is the disco singer that is the porn
star,
fantasy, has a good voice, and she's got a good voice singing that song. It's just a terrible song.
Yeah.
Carrie Fisher actually doesn't have a terrible voice. Her song is the worst song in the world.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Shh. Just be quiet for a minute. Sorry, that's... You guys keep saying things that are on my list somewhere.
I like B. Arthur, but that song was awful.
Yes. I kind of liked her little story. It's not on my likes, but I really liked your little story in the bar with the creepy guy that likes pours food through his head.
That's one of my likes.
Okay, I'll shut up. I'll let you get to that. So, all right, so we've done 3 and 3, so shall we do our skit?
Okay.
Yes.
If you insist.
I don't insist. You don't have to do it.
Let me drink some more alcohol first.
Seriously?
In 1975, a budding young filmmaker was visited by aliens. Shortly after the incident, he decided to make a film. This film is about that story. Star Wars, the story behind the story, starring Peter Lorre as George Lucas, a random old woman as Carrie Fisher, a slightly inebriated Katharine Hepburn as Harrison Ford, and Sean Connery as the alien in the orange underwear in a bar somewhere in the middle of Indiana.
Whatever am I going to do? I want to make movies, but only 13 people plus Warwick Davis saw THX 1138.
Watch that, dearie.
I've got no money left and might have to live in my mother's basement like Uwe Boll did when he found out he could get money from the German government for his awful films.
You could always sell your body. I hear slightly overweight bearded men is the 1970s thing. Just look at Ron Jeremy.
Who?
He's not alive yet.
I think I'll go for a walk.
Don't forget to kiss for Mama.
What? Ooh, I don't even know you.
Come on, you know you want it.
Gah!
Meanwhile, in space.
My God, it's a spaceship. How the hell did I get here? Whatever could that be? Help! Help! I've been attacked by Cary Grant's oversized penis again. Help!
What? No, it's me, Darth Vader. I just breathe like that for effect.
Oh, goodness me. I'm ever so grateful that you're not Cary Grant. He's a monster. At least 6 inches in girth and...
Enough! I've brought you here for a reason.
What's that?
To tell you...
Hmm?
That I am your father.
That's not true! That's impossible!
Meanwhile, in a random field somewhere...
Oh, woe is me! I haven't an original thought in my mind. How will I ever become a great filmmaker? What the? It's a spaceship! Where am I?
My spaceship.
Holy Hitchcock! You're not wearing any pants, man!
It helps with the arthritis.
Somehow, I don't think that's true.
Look, that's not why I brought you here. I brought you here so you can write a movie. A holiday movie.
Why would I make a holiday movie?
Because if you don't, he'll go back in time and become your father.
He can do that?
He does it to everyone. Darth Vader is the father of every major U.S. president, an illegal immigrant, and the last in at least 4 systems.
Where the hell did you come from?
She stays on weekends. It's a friends with benefits thing.
Ah, so what kind of movie do you want me to make?
It's called Star Wars and James Bond Have a Sexy Christmas.
What a terrible title.
I wouldn't argue, dearie. He always gets his way. Like a teenage girl played by an emotionless flesh husk. Always gets her glittering vampire douche.
You will make this movie and cast my younger self in it, wearing nothing more than a diaper.
That's disgusting.
Quiet, or I will become your brother, too.
Ugh.
And if I refuse?
I will ruin your career by letting you create the greatest science fiction trilogy of all time, only to follow it up with one of the worst examples of CG masturbation ever made.
Trust me, it'll make half the world want to desecrate your grave using illegally acquired elephant pee and the ashes from dead Nazis.
All right, fine.
Almost 40 years later, during a Skype conversation between amateur podcasters about this Star Wars holiday special.
What the fuck is this?
I have no idea. Whatever it is, it's painful.
It's like he showed this to a bunch of people, they all told him it's awful, and he released it anyway.
I've heard this was the downfall of Lucas.
Amen to that, sister. Let's all get a drink.
Drink.
Excuse me.
This show brought to you by Audible.com. Go to audibletrial.com/skiffyandfanny and get your free 1 month trial membership and get a free audiobook and all that good stuff. Sports podcasts, and we're awesome. Bye. All right. That was good, guys.
That was the best Katharine Hepburn there's board I've ever heard, Julia.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I hope that was amusing.
I was amused.
Okay.
Especially Sean Connery as Darth Vader in orange underwear.
My mind is blown.
It's better than interspecies Wookiee porn.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, no. That's horrible.
All right, guys. All right. So shall we get back to our likes and dislikes?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So my fourth like. Let's go to Jen.
B. Arthur singing.
Oh my god, no.
What? Not the song, because that was complete shit.
We can all agree on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love B. Arthur. And granted, though she couldn't actually save the movie, B. Arthur is amazing and awesome, and she deserves props, even while singing.
Yeah, I agree, but it just made me sad to see her there.
Well, there is a lot of things about this movie made me sad, though, so I had to choose the happy moments.
Fair enough. Julia, what about you?
I gotta go with the weird wig-drinking alien. He has a hole in his wig down which he pours the drinks that B. Arthur gives him, even though he has a human face with a mouth. It's one of the weirdest images ever, and it was the closest to, like, B-cheesy movie effects that I'd seen in this movie.
Two things about this hole in the head. One, it kind of made my brain hurt. And two, I had to start wondering if that orifice was used for other...
No!
Less-
oh, God!
I'm sorry. You had to mention penises during the skit, and then suddenly my mind went there.
That guy was just into B. Arthur because he'd been turned down by Cary Grant.
Oh, burn.
Do you think the hole was big enough for Cary Grant?
Probably not.
I mean,
Cary Grant was a monster, according to Katharine Hepburn.
Exactly.
Yeah. We just learned this from the skit. Katharine Hepburn was here.
Exactly. It was a very informative skit.
It was. We learned many things about the old days. All right, Paul, what about you?
I like the actual framing story that gives us this whole B. Arthur skit running a dive bar in Tatooine. Did you notice it was basically a ad from the Empire saying that Tatooine is a hive of scum and villainy and degeneracy, and here we're going to show you why it's so degenerate and why you should be happy you're not living on there. I like that sort of very weird sort of documentary feel to it. Like, it's so random. Like, okay, Tatooine sucks, and here we're going to show you why, because the author runs a dive bar in Tatooine.
Yeah, that I'd like the whole introduction to that thing about, you know, the, you know, something about morality, you know, we'll make no further on the morality of the thing. Yeah. I don't remember. I wasn't actually paying that much attention. But it was a little bit it was the most intelligent thing I think that happened in the entire film. Like the only actual sort of social commentary interjection that they threw in there.
Yeah, and remember, the bar gets closed. The cantina gets closed down.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, at the end of the skit, it gets closed down, and that's why she sings
the
song.
Well, kind of. Because she does have her comment about, you know, start a tab and for the Empire. So it only closes down slightly.
I thought it was only closed for that night because they imposed a curfew.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they closed it down for good, but maybe I was...
No, it was just... Everybody had to go home.
Whatever.
Look, maybe. Like, I don't know.
Let's just be honest. We've been overanalyzing this damn thing the whole podcast.
Yeah.
We're looking for rhymes and reasons, and we're trying to understand things.
And there was nothing even remotely
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not good. That's all right. True. Well, my like is actually related to a like Jen may remember from the old days.
Ah,
but it was just
really?
You and I for torture.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with dwarves.
Dwarves.
So I was very pleased to learn that dwarves and Wookiees are alike in that just like all dwarven women are hairy, so it just like the men, Wookiees are too, so it's very difficult to tell the women from the men, which is nice, you know, unless one of them wears like a giant apron and is some sort of reject from a Michael Crichton book. Like, you know, he sat down and he made all of these hairy monkeys and decided, I'm going to put an apron on one, but that's not going to work for Congo, so I'll save them for the holiday special.
Okay, when you say old days, you mean something that actually happened that
when
I should
remember,
right?
When we reviewed Dungeons and Dragons, there were all these perverted dwarf jokes about women.
yeah,
remember?
That's true.
And he's
yeah.
sitting there humping the post.
Yeah, that was funny.
Well, I'm glad to know that dwarven women are just like Wookiee women.
I'm glad that's, you know, something very important to you, too.
It is, except for the fact that she wore an apron. I didn't understand what the fuck the point of the apron was.
Well, especially since she uses her hairy hands to cook anyway, it's like, why bother putting an apron on?
Well, I thought that, honestly, if you're going to have to wash your hands, that's going to be less of a bother than having to wash your entire torso when you accidentally spill bantha sauce on it.
That's a good point.
Bantha sauce? That's the recipe for that. How do you make bantha sauce, Julia?
Well, we actually had this conversation with my mother, because my mother saw that and she was like, why is she wearing an apron? They don't wear clothes. And I was like, well, if you got random crap all over your fur, it's probably unpleasant.
True.
I should really start watching these movies with more people.
You should.
I mean, only because, like, you know, that sounds like something my husband would come up with, but it would have never occurred to me because I'd just be sitting there watching it and my brain going slowly numb. And therefore, I couldn't come up with anything that, you know, even sounded remotely intelligent about what was going on in the scene.
It's okay, Jen. I know how to make you laugh. I just talk about sodas and horses.
And penises.
I wasn't going to go there, but you can have that. You're welcome. All right, so fourth dislike?
Oh. Somebody else go first.
I'll go first.
Okay. Paul.
It riffs off something earlier said. Did you notice that in the scenes with Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia, all that smoke they kept using on the sets to just, like, soften the look of just how cheap the set's looking? I hated that. That was really crappy production values. It's like smoke as a way of softening and making a blur so you couldn't see just how crappy the sets that they were stuck in were.
I also like the implication that R2-D2 is completely inept. Like,
I'm sorry, because that's a... Oh, R2-D2, yes, okay. I was like, you mean C-3PO? You know, because that was like an unusual thing for him to be completely inept. But if you're talking about R2-D2, then...
C-3PO's actually not inept. He translates for everyone in this movie.
That's true. He's actually a very good translator in this film.
Better than C-3PO.
Yeah. Wait. Yeah.
Alright. Jen?
Oh, okay. So, Paul's comment reminded me that the first thing that I it wasn't the first thing. It was probably like the 5th or 6th or 7th or 10th or 20th thing. But it happens really early on. So, Luke Mark Hamill's horrible fucking makeup. I don't know if anybody else noticed how bad this was. And now that I think about it, not just that, but the voices of the Stormtrooper Imperial Guard people were really, really awful. And now that I think about it even further, there were more things that were just atrocious that I wanted to murder people for, but I'm going to stick with, at the beginning, Mark Hamill's horrible fucking makeup that made him look like... He hadn't even broken his nose or his face by this point, so I'm not really sure why it was necessary to, like, cake the makeup on and make him look like the robot from Red Dwarf, you know, with, like, the super angular face, like, features, because that's what he fucking looked like. And I was like, what the hell? And what what's crazy is that later on when he shows up at the Wookiee home, he doesn't have that, you know, crazy makeup shit going on. But in that first scene, it looks like they, like, went in with some sort of, you know, spatula and, like, scraped it into angles on his face. And it just pissed me off.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
You're welcome.
Julia?
Okay, this is my biggest, completely, like, really pissed me off when it happened dislike. And that's that the entire movie, everyone's worried about how Chewbacca is going to get to his home planet so he can celebrate Life Day with his family, because it's really important that he get to his home planet so he can do that. And then, at the very end of the movie, all the Wookiees walk into the light and end up on the moon or something. And you know who's there? Every single other person they talked to during the movie who wasn't anywhere near their home planet. So why couldn't Chewie just meet them over there?
Why didn't he just raise the light on some other planet and, like, then walk through the lights, the big white, like, moon?
No, forget that. Forget that. Leia was nowhere near any of it. And she was on that moon singing a damn song.
Well, what's even better is that, like, they had so much trouble getting there in the first place, you know, Chewbacca and Han Solo, and then somehow it takes only 10 minutes for Leia and Luke to show up.
Yeah, like, well, clearly they didn't have trouble getting to that random moonlight place, which is obviously not in the same place as the Wookiee home planet.
Yep.
So
they apparently have a
there's absolutely no reason for the entire framing device.
There's no reason for this whole fucking movie.
I do actually have an explanation for this.
You do?
No, I just made that up. You.
Yeah,
I don't believe
there's
it.
There's no explanation.
This seriously, I got to that point and I was like, I am so pissed off right now.
I was trying to figure out if it was supposed to be metaphorical or was it really happening. I was like, wait a minute, how did they get all together? I just like, what?
Well, it's hard to tell.
It was really happening. They all hugged and stuff.
It's hard to tell with this movie because half of it are like acid trips. It is. Half of it's like weird. I don't know. Whatever.
Anyway, so that was my fourth dislike.
Okay.
You're up, Sean.
All right. Well, my fourth is something we talked about already. It's the ultra awesome, almost blackface cooking lady from hell.
Oh, God.
Because, A, I think she's a man.
She is.
A man? Is it a man?
Yeah, she's a man.
It's the guy who's in has the hole in his head and plays the robot. It's all the same actor.
Oh, okay.
They're putting him in different comedy character sketch roles.
Because that's what he does in real life, is a variety show. Funny?
Yeah, he's obviously very good at it.
I forget his name. What is it? Does anybody remember?
Is it Art Carney?
Maybe it is. I think it is. That sounds almost right.
So I thought it was weird because they're cooking Bantha Surprise, which to me sounded like the name of a lewd sex act on Tatooine involving moisture evaporators.
Oh, dear God.
I just got to say, honey, I mean, your mind goes to places that, granted, I went with the what is that hole used for, but
you actually had an orifice to play with. I didn't. Okay. I had to be more clever than you.
Yeah, you did.
Because I'm sure the weird hole in the head guys, like some point in their teenage lives, they experiment.
Moving along, the one line that I really liked in the cooking show was when she was like, "Now only you know the best bite for your family."
But yeah, that was actually very clever. You know, it made you think that the cooking show did consider other species.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. It's all an innuendo.
And here I really enjoyed the stir beats.
Oh, whip.
Oh, wait, I did it in the wrong order.
stir, whip, beat.
And then let's take a sip. God, I'm serious. I love four-handed shticks, period. They're just hilarious.
By the way, that was Harvey Korman as the chef and a couple of the characters.
Thank you.
Weird.
Thank you.
So that's mine. So shall we go to our last likes?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Jen?
Oh, shit. Okay, there it is. okay, you're all going to, like, yell at me for this one, but I actually did like the fact that the entire original cast was on it to completely humiliate themselves.
Oh, God. That's true. That's true.
It was awesome. I'm like, what the frack are you people doing? And you know it's because, you know, at that point, they were still really low-paid actors, every single one of them. They didn't exactly have a name in Hollywood. And, you know, George Lucas came on and was like, you know, we want to drum up more support for these films so that we can make it a second and third one. So we really need you to be on it. And all of them were like, yeah, well, I need the fucking paycheck. So sure thing, dude. And then they come on and it's like, you know, soul crushingly humiliating in every way, shape and form.
Well, Carrie
and
Fisher
yet
was
they
high.
They still came back and she was high, right?
She
so
was
high that she has no fucking clue what she's doing in the first place.
She looked like she was enjoying herself, actually. She was like, la 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 la.
Yeah. She tried her best to sell that song, but it is seriously the worst song ever written.
But you know,
she really did have substance
abuse. The fact that it was
though.
Like, you know, oh yeah, I'll get to that as my last dislike in a second. All right,
Julia,
yeah,
next like.
Okay, so my last like is I actually really like the Wookiee costumes.
I hate
they're
you.
Good.
I love the Wookiee costumes. I mean, they're fun furry suits that all look like they're all part of the same species, but actually they all look a little different from each other. And I just
so really what I'm hearing is that Julia's got a bit of a Wookiee fetish here. So.
Did you know? I've random trivia. They brought back Peter Mayhew for this. Originally they weren't going to, but they brought him back on purpose because the guy they were going to have do his double couldn't meet the same moves. There you go.
Yeah, and I will say that, like, I really liked the costumes. Like, they were fun costumes. However, the only good Wookiee actor was Peter Mayhew.
Yeah.
I know. Chewbacca.
I mean, yeah. He whenever he was on screen and he was doing his, like, Chewbacca, you were like, oh, I actually kind of understand what he's trying to say. Everybody else, I don't really know what the hell just happened there.
Oh, my God.
Except for when Grandpa gets off.
Oh!
I wish I didn't know.
No!
That part.
No!
Yeah, yeah. That would be epic.
Okay, no, my mind is going in place. Save me, Paul.
My fifth like is Art Carney as Trader Son Dan. I mean, Trader has balls enough to try to sell stuff to Imperial officers in the middle of the house, even as he's trying to keep himself from getting arrested. He's like, you really like this wallet. It's really nice quality. I mean, he was over the top sort of traitor / smuggler / rebel informant.
/ Wookiee pleasurer.
Equal opportunity Wookiee pleasure.
Equal opportunity Wookiee pleasure. I'm sorry.
Occupation right.
I like him as a character.
As a member of the International Wookiee Pleasurers.
He's not only a member, he's the president.
Wookiee Pleasurers, what?
Oh, I've had way too much mead.
Oh, I think we're all had a little too much.
Oh, yeah.
Your fifth like, Sean?
All right, my fifth like, Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, no.
We are so to have worms.
Other than the cartoon, it's the only section I enjoyed because I love Jefferson. Is it Jefferson Starship? Jefferson Starship. Sorry. I love him because all I could think of while that's going on is, we built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Yeah, that's a better song, though.
I know it is, but that's what I thought through the whole thing, so I was happy. Don't take it away from me. Okay?
I didn't have many moments. Like it.
Were they actually singing? I have to ask. Does anybody know if they were actually singing a song about Christmas? Because I didn't pay enough attention again.
I looked it up.
It seemed like it at the beginning because they were talking about, like, you know, it sounded like they were talking about Jesus coming back and, you know, something like that. So which was a weird sort of like, why the fuck are you talking about Jesus when this is like, you know, the Wookiee Life Day, which I'm pretty sure they aren't Christian. I could be wrong on that, though.
No, the name of the song.
I got him.
It's Light the Sky on Fire is the name of the song.
God, all dignified if you want to. What I would really like to know, will you light the sky on fire? Will you light tonight like you did the night before? Hey, you could take me higher than the diamonds in the sky. Take me, light in the sky, and we'll vanish without a trace, and we'll see God then. Temples and mirrors interest me, though all there really is to know. Will you light the sky on fire? Will you light the sky on fire again tonight? You can take me higher than the diamonds in the sky. Take me, we'll vanish without a trace, and then we'll all see God then. Etc., etc., etc. Yeah?
Yeah, that was terrible.
That was horrible.
That whole section was just awful.
Then my brain just died a little bit.
I disagree. Possibly the best part of the whole movie.
No.
Oh my god.
We built this city.
You don't get your present anymore.
Boba Fett on a dragon corn trumps that any day of the week.
Fair enough. Totally. Fair enough. Second place then.
Where are we?
Dislike.
This is it. Oh,
our last dislike. Thank you. Yep. Okay. My biggest possible dislike, and this is because I'm a huge fan of Christmas, was the fact that this movie had absolutely nothing to do with anything holiday-y whatsoever. And granted, I realize that it's a non-denominational holiday special. I get that, and I appreciate that.
Life Day is a holiday.
And Life Day is a holiday.
You just mean like a winter Christmas
sorts. I just didn't get any association with the sort of normative American holiday. And I didn't appreciate that because even though I'm an atheist, I still like to be deluded into thinking that there's a Santa Claus and that there's also a thing called Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and the solstice and everything else. But all of those things are Western. And there was nothing Western Christmas about this holiday special.
Really? Because I thought it was pretty Christmassy. I mean, like, it's one day a year when you want to be home with your family. There's a big meal. And then everybody goes to a place that's white where everybody's wearing red robes.
Okay, yeah. But those red robes were, like, the creepiest, like, we're going to murder you red robes that I've ever seen.
It was like a cult. Like a religious cult.
It was major culty, which I can, again, appreciate to an extent because, you know, I apparently have a family for a full cultist, but it was just, I don't know. I again, Thanksgiving, maybe Hanukkah. I mean, it like had a little bit of each, but they didn't even bother. Like the music was all based on the Star Wars music. So like I could have seen them going with, you know, like even the dreidel song would have been spiffy if they were singing about Star Wars and Life Day with the dreidel song, you know, tune in the background, because that would have been kind of spiffy. But there was no mix. And considering the fact that this was supposed to be marketed to Americans who, let's be honest, are a little bit like me and don't appreciate anything weird. I appreciate weird, but I have this thing about Christmas. Maybe that's what it is.
It's a shoe.
I wanted more Christmas. I always want Christmas in my freaking holiday movies.
Netflix. Yeah, moving on. Julia?
Okay, fifth dislike. So when they finally do get to the Life Day moon celebration time and everybody's magically there and we realize that the plot is all useless because Chewie could have been there without having to go through all of that. Then, after all of that, to just cement the colonialist crap attitude that's going on, it has to be Princess Leia who tells the Wookiees how to live their lives and how to celebrate their sacred holiday.
Yeah.
She, like, has this inspirational speech about what their holiday is supposed to mean to them and then sings the worst song ever.
Seriously, how awesome would it have been, like, again, going back to my Christmas thing, if the Wookiees had sung I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas in Wookiee? That would have totally made this movie. Duke, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to force you to record the Wookiee Christmas Special album. You will sing all of the classic Christmas songs in Wookiee.
That's the Jewish version. It's the dreidel. Wookie dreidel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God.
All right, Paul, follow that one up.
I don't think I can follow that. My fifth dislike was the incompetency of the Imperial bureaucracy. They have this squad of Imperial soldiers go to Chewbacca's house, and they, like, stay there for hours. It's like, and they even mentioned at one point they got other places to go in this sector. It's like, but
just
they
hang out.
Yeah, like,
let's watch some TV while we're here.
Let's watch Jefferson Starship.
Exactly. It's just like, no wonder the Empire fell to the rebels.
And meanwhile, right under their nose, there's this damn Wookiee kid watching rebel, you know, sort of advertising upstairs on his cartoon machine.
It was upstairs.
They don't even notice.
At the time. Downstairs, because remember at one point he gets excited, then the officer comes over, oh my god, I watched this too, and then he switches to the video game quickly.
You watched this way too closely, Paul.
I did.
I will say this for them. Everyone in this world apparently is really dumb.
Oh,
like in the whole universe, because there was also the point in the cartoon where, like, Boba Fett's like, so you don't like the Empire, and Luke's like, you seem like a cool guy. Yeah, I don't like the Empire. I don't know anything about you, and this could get me killed or imprisoned, whatever. Sure.
But I'm totally a rebel, dude.
He's like,
you take me to your leader.
And Luke is like, oh, you said friend. That must mean you're actually a friend.
I like that Wookiees can smell evil.
And I love it. Awesome. C-3PO is like, yeah, that friend doesn't necessarily mean what you think it means. And then he's just like, well, whatever. He's friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your fifth dislike, Sean?
It's actually related to the Empire, and it's I think I now understand why the Empire fell. It has nothing to do with that they're dumb or that the bureaucracy doesn't make much sense. They waste lots of time and they don't catch anything. I think that what happened to the Empire is they simply just ran out of babies.
Huh?
What? Okay.
Look at the costumes, right?
Because they were too busy having sex with blue-haired imaginary creatures?
No. That's the Wookiees. Wookiees,
okay.
Blue-haired chicks. Chill out. Uh-huh. No. Okay,
was it the handlebar mustaches?
I could explain, or we could just have you just guess.
No, I'm sorry. I just want to guess. It's much funnier.
Okay. All right. So look, right? The only ones who wear anything that resembles a normal uniform are, like, the officers, right? But the officers are always old dudes. So, like, you know, they have low sperm counts, so they're out, right? So then we have the stormtroopers who, let's just be honest, right, not exactly like what you pick up at a bar, right? Really difficult to get all of that plastic off.
Okay, no. I have to totally disagree with that, because in my mind, all of those stormtroopers are totally fucking hot.
Yeah,
every single one of them. And that was before I realized that they were clones.
Well, but then what about the guys with the giant black helmets?
Those guys, however, look like they have giant penis heads, which is really what inspired Spaceballs.
Which is exactly why my argument works. Because, let's just face it, there is not a lot of breeding going on in the Empire with uniforms like that.
Well, especially, yeah.
That's why the Empire fell. It was just a war of attrition.
But they didn't need to breed. They had clones. So I don't get what your point is.
Eventually, they need to breed.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
For something above the level of troopers, they need to breed.
See?
But those troopers are pretty awesome, according to the Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they actually do.
Have you ever watched the movies? The stormtroopers die all the freaking time.
Canon with the Clone Wars cartoon, they are totally kick-ass.
But they're really not. When you watch the original Star Wars, the plastic doesn't even help them. It just slows them down.
Who cares about the original Star Wars? George Lucas decided to create things like the Holiday Special and characters named Lumpy.
And Itchy.
All right.
So, really?
Fair enough.
Are we going to rate this thing now?
Fine. Can I just choose a different dislike then? It's a quick one.
Okay.
I suppose.
Cheer. What the hell is Carrie Fisher doing singing?
She was fine.
Why? Why is she singing?
Because they made her and she was high on cocaine.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right, guys.
Because she needed to impart her colonialist message to those little...
Exactly. Very important. Crucial, in fact.
Fair enough. All right. Let's get to our grades then. Because that's it. That's all of our likes and dislikes are 5x5s.
Okay.
And your grade.
Oh, yeah. I always forget I'm supposed to grade this shit. I'm going to give it a D minus F plus.
You got to pick one. Pick one.
It could have actually been better than that. Okay, fine. I'll go with D minus. It might have actually been better than a D minus, but I wouldn't know because I stopped watching about 5 minutes into the movie.
Okay. Julia?
I'm going to have to give this movie an F. It was just awful.
I'm sorry.
It was definitely the worst thing I have watched for torture cinema.
You didn't have to watch the other Mark Hamill film.
MacGyver? That wasn't as bad as this, though. MacGyver
yeah, it's actually
had
probably
a couple
true.
Of actually okay. redeeming okay. qualities. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Paul?
F minus.
And I concur.
Yeah, I think I revised mine. F minus.
God, I'm like really generous. But again, I didn't watch most of the movie, so I didn't actually know.
I was like, a D? Are you serious?
D minus. She gave it a D minus.
I may have watched a total of 20 minutes of the hour and 50 minutes that I had on my version of
really?
It. Come on! Why would you watch this shit?
Because we had to.
I actually want to take a moment here to say to anyone who may be listening, if you were actually a kid who really liked Star Wars in 1978 and you saw this broadcast on live TV and you went through that experience of really hoping it was going to get better if you kept watching and it just kept not getting better and you were seriously disappointed, if you ever see me in person at a con, or if you decide to come to the Boston area, email me and I will buy you the drink of your choice, because I'm sorry you had to live through that.
I think that's why I stopped watching it, because I didn't want to live through it. I didn't want to make Julia have to buy me a beer.
Well, is Julia going to be at WorldCon?
Probably not at WorldCon this year, no.
Damn, we're going to be there?
Apparently, this is the one year that nobody is going to WorldCon, and it's the only year we're going to be there.
We'll be alone. We'll be
fantastic timing.
Yeah, I went in this year, 2012, the year we're still in, and I don't know that I can afford to go this year, 2013.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Sad face.
But anywho, so that's it. That's it. We're done. We're done.
Less sad than this movie. So.
I can't do the math in my head right now. That's like a F-ish.
It's an F. With three F minuses, I'm still pretty sure that equals out to an F minus, even with my D minus.
Yeah, something like that.
So F anyway, minus plus?
That's it for all of the season. This is the last episode of the season, so...
Woohoo!
Yay.
It's late, but whatever. Happy holidays,
bitches! Yes.
Happy holidays. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Jennifer, Julia, Paul. Thank you for being on the show and going through these painful processes. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
thank you guys for watching these really, really terrible films over the last few months.
Yeah.
Instead of me. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
So, if anybody, of course, wants to suggest a film for the next year, because we're going to keep doing this bit next year, you can do that. Just send us an email, all that stuff. All that's at the end of the podcast. So, thank you for listening. Thank you all. Julia, where can people find you?
JuliaRios.com.
Awesome. And eventually I'm going to put that on the website. So, and then Jennifer will probably die or something. I don't know. So
whatever.
That's it. That's,
all right.
That's the end. So.
Can't
good night,
find,
everyone.
Find
see y'all next year.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Yay! Bye!
Bye!
If you would like to send us hate mail on this episode or any other topics we've covered, you can do so in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
You can send us a tweet.
@SkiffyandFanty.
Leave a comment on the blog.
SkiffyandFanty.com.
Go to Google+.
Shawnee Jen,
and or Facebook.
The Skiffy and Fanti Show. Our intro music comes from Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
You're just another weak human afraid to face death.
I pass in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
End of line.